This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أنا الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه تسليمًا كثيرًا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أعاذنا الله سبحانه وتعالى جميعا من عذاب نار جهنم من شدتها. Today is the last day and the last hadith of the book that we started some time back, and it is the book of our Sheikh أبو الحارث علي حسن الحلبي الأثري رحمه الله تعالى وأسكنه الله تعالى في الفردوس الأعلى وأدخله الله تعالى جنته بغير عذاب وبدون أي حساب ونسأل الله يتقبل منه جهوده العظيمة التي خدم بها هذه الدعوة المباركة التي نحن عليها إن شاء الله. So today is the 40th hadith. It's a long hadith. So I'm going to let my brother read the hadith because after getting that operation that I had in my right eye, I'm supposed to get another operation in my left eye. So my eyesight is off the square. I can't see it. And the person who printed this for me printed it too small. And I just arrived not too long ago back from London, where I took my niece, who is a professor and a graduate of Harvard University, and she came here to present a paper at Oxford. Then my first family member that came to me here in the UK, my sister's daughter, who has now become my favorite niece, and she's overtaken Buja's position, Allahu Alam. So she was with us as our guest, and I took her to the airport today and dropped her off. And came back, and I found that this is what was printed. I can't see it. No way in the world. I can't see it. So until I get the other operation, get new glasses, inshallah, I'll be able to read this, hopefully. May Allah Ta'ala give all of us strong sight and strong ability to hear. And most importantly, may He give us hearts that understand. Not hearts of chumps, apologists, people who are afraid of Allah, people with iman and aqidah, and the understanding of the meaning of the tawheed, and the madlulat of the kalima of a tawheed. Because when we understand, you young brothers, who Allah is and who Allah isn't, then you know, as Allah told the believers to say in the Quran, قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا Illa ma katab Allahu lana. Nothing is going to afflict us, hit us, hurt us, except what Allah decreed. You will not be a mu'min, as the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, until you believe. What was meant to hit you is not going to miss you. And what was meant to miss you is not going to hit you. So don't you be one of those apologetic Muslims who people blow on you. And when they blow on you, you want to throw in your cards, so to speak. Get your jacket, put your clothes on, and go home and leave the Maidan. No. Be a man. And being a man doesn't mean being crazy and opening up doors that you can't handle, as the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. La yambaghi lilmu'min an yadhilla nafsuhu. It's not okay for a believer to put himself down and to make himself dhalil. Dhalil is when you're down. People don't respect you. If you're a poor man and you're working and you're living off of 50 pounds a month, but you don't beg and you're practicing your religion, the rich man will respect you. But if you're one of them people who beg and you're always asking and begging, your brothers from the Muslims, you're always asking and begging, you may lose the respect of people. That's why the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the sharaf of the Muslim is his praying at night, and his izzah is istighna'u 'anil nas. When you pray, that's a sign of you having honor. And izzah, also having izzah, is when you don't need people, even if you don't have a lot of money. As for the people who they have been defeated intellectually, the worst type of isti'mar is isti'mar of your intellect. It's bad when someone steals your land, steals your property, makes you displaced, compromises the istiqrar, the stability of your land. That's bad. But the worst kind of isti'mar is when your mind has been, you know, overcome. So my brother is going to read this, inshallah. I'm going to stop him. And I gave this to him right before the salat. And it's one of those hadith, the way the link it goes in Arabic, you have to have some background on the hadith because it may read into each sentence. So we'll do the best that we can, inshallah. Read the hadith, the best of our ability, and make some ta'liqat on it, inshallah.
From Al-Harith Al-Ashari, radiyallahu anhu, who said that Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, indeed, Allah the Most High ordered Yahya ibn Zakariya alayhi salam with five things, that he should act upon them, and ordered the children of Israel to act upon them. Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam said to him, Zakariya alayhi salam, indeed, Allah ordered you with five things, that you should act upon them, and that you order the children of Israel to act upon them.
So here in the hadith that the Sheikh brought in the book, and it's the last hadith, 40 hadith of the du'at and the da'wah. Every Sunday we've been coming and we've been dealing with these hadith that are focusing upon the da'wah of al-Islam. And those people were given da'wah. No doubt, I'm giving da'wah now. You get on the minbar, you're giving da'wah. But every one of you is also a da'i. You're giving da'wah to your parents, da'wah to your children if you're a mother and a father. You're giving da'wah to your neighbors. You're giving da'wah to Muslims. You're giving da'wah to non-Muslims. The du'at are not just the people who are officially graduates of this university, or people who are upon the minbar and they have a microphone in front of him. Everybody is giving da'wah. And that's why the Prophet told everybody here, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the old, the one who's sitting on the chair, the youngsters, the women, بَلِّغُ أَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةٍ. Tell the people about me, even if it is one ayat. Something small that you are sure about, tell the people about me. And the virtues of giving da'wah are tremendous because you're following the way of the prophets and the messengers. And they're the best human beings. And we're going to deal today, inshallah, with this tremendous hadith that talks about two of those tremendous prophets and messengers who were relatives. that was sent to Bani Israel. One of them is one of the five Ulul Azam min al-Rusul, Isa ibn Maryam, one of the most important of the prophets and the messengers. He's going to come back, and when he comes back, he's going to set the scales straight. There is dhulm in the world, dhulm in Africa, dhulm in the Arab world, dhulm in Europe, dhulm in far Southeast Asia. There is dhulm all over the world. And people are dhalama, and others are madhlumun. When Isa ibn Maryam comes, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, he is going to set al-adl in the world. He's going to break the cross. The cross, the salib, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to that tremendous son of the Arabs. His name is Adi ibn Hatim al-Ta'i. His father was known for his karam. If you want to say to the Arab, you want to describe a person's karam and his generosity, you say karam Hatim. That man is generous like Hatim in Jahiliyyah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to praise people like this man from Jahiliyyah, his generosity. His son and his daughter became Muslims. And when his son Adi came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was a Christian and he had a cross on. The Prophet told that man sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ilqi sanam al-jahiliyyah min unaqik. Take the sanam. The sanam is an idol. Take the idol of jahiliyyah off of your neck. So when he became a Muslim, he took it and he threw it away. So it's not okay for a Muslim to make ta'zim of the sanam. If the Prophet saw a ta'zim of the cross, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw anything in his house shaped like a cross, he would break it. And it was in his house inadvertently. No one brought a cross from the Kanisa. No one did that. Hasha lillah. But maybe something had broke from some wood and it had the shape of a cross. He would come and make al-amru bin ma'ruf and al-nahu and al-munkar, and he would break that thing. So he wouldn't wear things that had crosses in the pattern. Your child is into superheroes and things like that. The superhero has a cross. His train is that. La. He didn't make ta'zim of that. What about what is behind the cross in terms of aqidah? That Allah has a son. And the son of Allah, Isa ibn Maryam, was maslub on the cross. وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ يَقِينًا. They didn't kill that Isa ibn Maryam. Anyway, this hadith is talking about Isa ibn Maryam and his cousin, who was Zakariya, Yahya. Yahya was the son of Zakariya, and Zakariya was the khal of Maryam. And he's mentioned in the Quran, and Zakariya was the one who grew Maryam and took Maryam in responsibility for Isa's mother. So the Nabi had Zakariya, Yahya had Yahya, and Maryam had his cousin Isa ibn Maryam. Anyway, Isa ibn Maryam, in this ayat, in this hadith, two people giving dawah. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلٍ مِّمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Who is better than the one who's giving dawah to Allah? Not dawah to his madhab, not dawah to his country, not dawah to apologizing, not dawah to his desires, not dawah to shirk. One of the big problems that we have with some of the communities where we come from is that some of the imams from where we come from, the religion that the people upon is the religion of hocus pocus, khurafat and shirk and bid'ah. So when there are problems that happen in the world, we don't know what to do because we don't know who Allah is. We don't know that Allah is as-sami', al-basir, al-qawi, al-mateen, al-aziz. We don't know that. So if someone comes and goes, we say, I'm sorry. Just forgive me. And we start apologizing unnecessarily. So these two people are giving da'wah together. Allah made it the responsibility of Yahya to call Bani Israel to five things, that you're about to hear those five things. Yahya, go to your people and give them da'wah to these five things. Isa ibn Maryam, who's on the scene with him, said to him, Allah has ordered you to tell Bani Israel these five things. If you go and tell them, okay, bihi wa ni'ma, for bihi wa ni'ma. If you're slow and you don't want to tell them, I'll do it. This is important. Because Allah makes a threat in the Quran to us Muslims. He said in the Quran in ayat, وَمَنْ يَنْقَلَبْ عَنْ دِينِهِ, about the Prophet's death, مَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا الرَّسُولُ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرَّسُولُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ وَقُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلَبْ عَلَىٰ أَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah only. He's not the son of Allah. He's not Ibnullah. He's not Hazir Nazir. He doesn't know the ilm al-ghayb except what Allah tells him. He can't protect himself if Allah doesn't protect him. So if he dies or if he is killed, a sign he can't be Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make the dua and say to Allah, Anta Allah al-hayy alladhi la yamut wal ins wal jinn yamutun. You are Allah al-hayy, you're living. You're the only one who lives forever. You're the only one who doesn't die, only you. He said, and all of mankind die, all of them. And all of the jinn will die, all of them. Ala kullin. And this hadith, tremendous hadith, showing us if we don't do the job and you worship Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you leave the religion, then you don't hurt Allah. And that's why we have to praise the companions, Ridwanullah alayhim. Allah described them in the Quran as being min al-mu'minin rijal sadaqu ma ahad Allah alayhi faminhum man qada nahbuhu wa minhum man yantadhir wa ma badalu tabdila. This kitab of Allah, the Quran, ikhwani, from the believer are men, real men, alpha men, may Allah be pleased with them. Some of them have made the ultimate sacrifice for their religion. They were Muslims and they died for their religion. They didn't blow themselves up like Al-Qaeda and Boko Haram and that nonsense. But they got on the religion, they made Tawheed. Whoever liked it, they liked it. Whoever didn't like it, didn't like it. It didn't change them. And there are some from amongst them who are still waiting. Those are the companions. And then Allah said, they didn't change anything. They didn't change anything from the religion. So when the Prophet died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions were still on al-Islam. Now we come into the religion, and the religion that we have is a badil. We have Hazir Nazir. We have the Khatam. We have the Molid. We have kissing our eyes. We have these Jama'at. We have Al-Ghulu. We have a taqleed al-a'ma for the one who shouldn't be doing a taqleed al-a'ma. We have all of these issues calling it the deen, and it's not the deen. So whenever the winds of adversity blow, it's fawda. This one is doing something, he's doing something else, he's doing something else, and we're refuting each other. And we have the book of Allah right in front of us. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. We got the book of the love of Allah. Anywhere in the Quran did Allah Azza wa Jal make the ta'zeem of kufr and shirk? Anywhere. هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Did the Nabi of Islam ever make the ta'zeem of Christianity? Anywhere in the Quran. As we have it today, do we have that? Those companions didn't change anything. So in giving da'wah to Allah, you have to take the way of those companions, radiallahu anhum. يا أيها الذين آمنوا من يرتد منكم من دينه فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبونه ويحبونهم أذلة على المؤمنين عزة على الكافرين a threat, a fact. All you believe. If any of you change your religion, Allah will change you for another group of people. He'll bring a group of people because he doesn't need you. And those people who he'll bring, they will be easy with those who believe. From the believers are those who are ignorant. They don't know. They'll be easy with them. From them are youngsters. Easy with them. From them are women. Easy with them. From them are elders. Easy with them. They'll be gentle and easy with the Muslim who makes a khata and he didn't mean it. Easy. Like the Prophet was easy with the Bedouin that urinated in the masjid sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Easy. But it didn't stop there. Easy with the believers, that's it? No. And azza, strong against the disbelievers. Does that mean that when I get on the number 6 bus to go to city center, I'm coming from city center, there's a non-Muslim old lady, old man getting off the bus, I push him over and use this ayah? La wallahi. From the meaning of that is, I let the people say, I let the people know, non-Muslims. Lakum dinukum waliyadeen. And for you revert brothers, you know our brothers who are born and raised in Islam. We're born in Islam, it was changed. Our relatives, environment changed us. I'm going to tell you, you revert brothers. You listening to me, man? You revert brothers is really important. For a person to forsake what his parents were on, Christianity, and then come to Islam, and you allow yourself to copy what the Muslims are doing, and your religion is just what the Muslims are around, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? That individual, he doesn't know. He just, it's a shubha for him. He thought that was the deen. Because generation after generation, this has been given as the religion. But you left Christianity. And now you come into Islam and you can't see that you have to make sajda only to Allah. So if they invited me to make the dua in the Congress of America, they invite me. Would you come as an imam, make the dua at the Congress of America? I'd sit down as a revert and say, okay, what can I accomplish with this? And I have to really figure it out. Call people I respect of knowledge. Call my brothers. Try to make it, figure it out. But one thing I can't allow myself to do is to go in there and start making dua for kufr and shirk. I can't do that. I have to hate going back into kufr just as I hate being thrown into the fire hell. So let your religion, you revert. Let your religion be the religion of those companions. When our brothers from Pakistan, Mirpur, Somalia, the Arabs, and I'm not saying anyone is better than anyone. People born and raised in Islam have virtues. Reverts to this religion have virtues. Both groups have virtues. Both groups have virtues. But I want to tell you, revert brothers, when we hear from our brothers and sisters what the religion is, we have to say, did Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman and Ali did that? Because in some of these countries, like in the UK, some of our Muslim brothers, they don't know, are they Muslim British people first or British Muslim first? There's no problem. There's no problem to say that. I am a Muslim before I'm anything else. I'm a proud African-American man. I will not come into Islam speaking broken English or thinking, you know, I have to be an Arab. I have to do just, I'm an African-American. I love my people, the good of them. I want to give them dawah. But the kufr and the shirk and the dhulm and the problems, no. We are Muslims first, and then we're Somali. We're Muslims first, and then we're white. We're Muslims first, and then I'm a PhD holder. I'm not a PhD holder first, and that's when I'm walking around on the earth. I'm a PhD. No. No. Abadan. So those companions didn't change anything. As for us, if we change things, Allah is going to change. The people are going to come. They're going to carry this religion. And they're not going to be afraid of these people. They're not going to be afraid of the people who, as Allah mentioned in the Quran, they want to extinguish the light of Allah by blowing on it. And that's what the Prophet said to Quraysh, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you know how many times and opportunities Rasulullah was faced with Quraysh trying to bribe him. They tried to bribe him over and over because they saw they couldn't stop his religion. He was one believer, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Khadija. And then Abu Bakr. And then Ali. And then Zayd ibn Harith. Five people. And it grew over to a billion people today. He started out by himself. And it kept growing, growing, growing. When they saw they couldn't stop it with Islamophobic slogans, with violence, with lies, they couldn't stop it. It's the deen of Allah. They came with a brilliant idea. Hey, Muhammad, listen, we have this idea. Listen, we're capitalists, you know? We just want money, really. We just want power. We just want people to follow us in Mecca. You are upsetting that dynamic. Listen, listen, Muhammad. What we agree to do with you now is 1 year, we, Quraysh, the Kuffar, we will worship Allah with you. And we'll leave and forsake our gods, our idols at the Kaaba. And then the next year, you worship with us, our idols. Some of us right now, we'll start getting trombones. Our kids will start playing, you know, these songs and anthems and stuff like that. Wow, Eureka. Instead of saying Allahu Akbar, he said, Eureka, we hit the jackpot. The Nabi didn't do that, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There is a hadith that said, that he said, if you put the sun in my right hand, the moon in my left hand, I would never do that. That hadith is not authentic. So from your religion is, don't say weak hadith about the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How in the world am I going to big up a religion that they lie on Allah? That's the deen, is to lie on Allah. And to lie on the Messenger of Allah. And I don't know that although my niece who came here, I love her, and she's a minister, a preacher. We started discussing many things, civilized. I didn't slap her, spit on her. My mother, Christians. But the religion that they are is not truthful. Jesus said this, Jesus said that. And then you ask them, Jesus, where did he say that? What's authentic is that the Prophet said to them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you non-Muslims were to ask me to take from the sun a sha'la, just a spark of the sun. You know how far the sun is. If you were to ask me, right here in Quraysh, over 1,400 years ago, 1444, if you asked me to take a spark from the sun, that would be easier for me to do than what you're asking me for. You're asking me to change Allah's religion? This is not my religion to change. It's not my religion. And if it's not for Allah's Rasul to change, ma baluka ya akhi, what is wrong with us that we change the religion? Where does it come from? So in this hadith, it's important for us to understand that people are giving dawah, we have to cooperate. Bani Israel had multiple prophets and messengers at the same time. Isa was on the scene with Yahya, his cousin, and Zechariah, his uncle. Three people at the same time. Suleiman and his father, Dawood, at the same time. Musa, along with his brother, Harun. And they were there with Yusha ibn Nun, at this three prophets, messengers, two at the same time. So they are people who have a special position in our religion. But they dropped the ball. They dropped the ball. They cooperated. Musa was very strong in his, you know, character. Harun was ahda. He was cooler. So I have a brother here who, his character is one way. And his character and the way he is going to work for this group of people. And this other brother's character is going to work for another group of people. And this brother's character is going to work for another group of people. And we make a ta'awun between ourselves on the sunnah. I don't hate you because you get more likes than me. You get more people in your masjid than I do. How am I going to hate you like that? So this is what's happening. These two prophets are together. Isa is telling Yahya, Yahya, you've been commanded. If you don't do it, or if you're slow in doing it, then I'm going to do it. Why? Because the deen belongs to Allah. You know? Kitab Allah, Masjid Allah, Rasulullah. This is Dawatullah, the Dawah of Allah, not the Dawah of your group. These groups out here, all of them are a problem. Go ahead, my brother.
So Isa alayhi salam, he said to Yahya that either you order them or I order them. So
order Bani Israel with these five things to do.
So Yahya said, if you precede me in that, I fear that I will be punished or swallowed by the earth.
So as a Rasul, as a Nabi, as a Da'i, Yahya's level of taqwa was, if I don't do what Allah told me to do and relay his message the right way, وَمَا عَلَى الرَّسُولُ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينُ. It's the job of the just relay the message. It's not your job to make people follow the religion. It's your job to put pressure on your wife, your children, people under your supervision. But now Muslims, relatives, people not under your... No, it's your job. Get on the Sirat al-Mustaqim and just give dawah. That's our job. So Yahya was afraid of the punishment of Allah. And this is what we have to do. We have to be afraid that I'm not doing the job correctly. Not that this dawah is something I just shooed away like a fly. The deen of Allah. I'm going to let the man read the thing so we can get through this hadith.
So Yahya gathered the alayhi salam, gathered the people in the masjid of Jerusalem until it was filled. And the people sat upon the walls. And he said, he admonished them, saying, indeed, Allah has ordered me with five things, which I should act upon them and order you to act upon them.
So as the Nabi, I have to act upon them. And I'm telling you, Bani Israel, to act upon him. The Prophet said in the past, وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُخَالِفَكُمْ إِلَى مَا أَنْهَاكُمْ أَنْهُ. I don't want to do something else. I'm telling you to do something. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to tell you to do something. No, he has to do it. And he has to act upon it. And you have to do it. And that's why they came and they said, Ya Rasulullah, tell us something that we only can ask you. We can't ask anyone else. What is it? We're going to ask you. Tell us something that only we can ask you. He said, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Say, I believe in Allah and then be upright. When Rasulullah took the mantle and the responsibility, he did what his Lord told him to do, and he didn't shirk his responsibilities. He did it. He did it. No doubt, he had help from Allah, but anybody who takes the religion will have help from Allah Azza wa Jalla. So the da'i, they asked to do it and expect the people to do it as well. Abu Sam, I come here, and I give him da'wah to the people that I don't do what I'm telling the people to do is a big mushkila. You as parents, right? Don't look at Abu Usama, right? Because we all fall into this and Allah knows best. You're the parent. You're giving dawah. You're telling your children, don't swear, don't curse, don't do this, don't do that. But they look at you. So the ayah of the Quran is, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, lima taquluna ma la taf'alun. Why do you say what you don't do? So this is one of the ayat and signs of the munafiqeen. They say what they don't do. So the Nabi is going to do, and the people have to do it from Bani Israel. What are these five things? Go ahead, my brother.
The first of them is that you worship Allah and do not associate anything along with him.
La ilaha illallah, ikhwani. There is no God worthy of worship except Allah. Today, come in here. I saw 7, 8 kids. They were dressed nice. They were clearly visiting each other. I had never seen them in my life before on my street. And I have some chairs that are in front of my house that were thrown away. Maybe somebody come and get them. But the chairs were tipped over in the sidewalk. And these kids were hiding on the side of my building, in my house, like an alleyway. I said to them, hey, you guys knock my chair over? The little innocent boy, with respect, he said, no, I didn't do that. I swear to God. I say, hey, little man, don't swear to God. God is not Allah. God is not Allah. Don't say, God bless you. I swear to God, I worship God. The Arab who's a non-Muslim, the Arab who knows Arabic, when you say Allah, when you say Allah, Allah, he's not thinking about God. Al-Ilah. One of the names of Allah, Al-Ilah, Abdul-Ilah. That is like the God, the one who was worshipped. Al-Ilah, God, can mean Jesus, the sun, the moon, cows, monkeys. It could be a statue. Allah is none of that. Allah is Allah. So young people, all of us, don't say God anymore. That's not our religion. And it's not the meaning of Allah. So la ilaha illallah means there is no one who is worth worshiping. He has the right to be worshipped. No one. And that's the first da'wah of all the prophets and the messengers. Because it's the pinnacle and the cornerstone of your existence. We ate today whatever we ate to worship Allah. We come here right now to give thanks to Allah. We pray today for Allah. Hijab, Allah. Tawbah to Allah. Slaughtering for Allah. Fear only of Allah. That's it. Now that doesn't mean if a lion came in here, we can't be afraid. Because I guarantee if a lion came in here, I'm going to be the first one out of the door. I'm not going to help any of the little kids. I have rahmah for you, but I'm out of the door. As long as my little kid Shabe is not here, I'm not looking for anyone. Once I get out, I'll start directing you. Come this way. Come this way. But I'm getting out of the door. That's natural. The fear that's only for Allah is that you think that all the people in this masjid can come and harm you. If Allah, they can harm you because they want to harm you. No. If all of the mankind and all the jinn, past and present, came together to harm you with something or to benefit you with something, they're not going to do it except if Allah decreed it. And that's what happened to and with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On the way of his journey, he got hit, he got beat up, his people died, got killed. He had some bumps on the road. He's going to get the reward of that in Jannah, Jannah til Firdaus. But look at his religion. They had more numbers, they had more weapons, they had more everything. But who's the final winner? Who's the final winner? The winner is the one who is on the right side of the religion, the right side of La ilaha illallah. Al-Muhim, La ilaha illallah. If you understood and you believed it, you won't believe in the Yarmi, you won't believe in the Khatam, you won't believe in none of that stuff. None of that. And I don't want to be disrespectful. I'm not disrespecting. I understand people, they accepted that as their religion. So the first thing that we give da'wah to is La ilaha illallah. And you cannot get tired of giving da'wah to La ilaha illallah. We had some competent, qualified people to come to the UK, as we've always had over the years, by Allah's permission. Ulama, strong students of knowledge, shuyukh. One came when he was in the UK. Allah knows best, but he was probably one of the most knowledgeable people in all of Europe when he came. His name is Sheikh Sulaiman al-Ruhaili. And Asuli, a man who knows how to talk, a man who knows this religion. People of Islam said, don't go listen to him. Although our community is in need of that man's knowledge. We were in need of that man's knowledge and that man's information. So these scholars and people who have knowledge come. Sheikh Haytham and Sarhan, knowledge came to our community, giving dawah. You didn't have to pay anything. Knowledge. And then they teach books like Usul al-Thalatha. They see books like Kitab al-Tawheed. And then the person who says, why do we keep learning these books? Why do we keep? We keep learning these books because our community needs to understand these books. Our community, not to put people down, our understanding of these books are not there, and it's indicative, and it shows, and it manifests itself when we have trials and tribulations. Because when a person is tried with something, his mother gets sick, he goes to the sahir, the magician. He has problems in his marriage, he goes to the magician. Someone asked me the other day, who picked me up from the airport when I came from America, young brother, mashallah, I remember this cat when he was 13. Now his brother's 22, he's driving now, tall, 6'3". He was saying, you know, sister, I mean, marry her, this and that, but I just want to know, you know, she took a piece of thread and she put it from her sides, from her head to the toe, and she has a thread. She says someone put magic on her, so she has to take this thread and write some stuff and put it together and burn it and drink it. Is that from the religion? I don't ridicule any question, but come on, Akhi, 21, 22. How many times have you said La ilaha illallah in your life? La ilaha illallah has conditions to it. That you have to have knowledge about what it is. You have to be sincere about it. You have to submit to it. You have to have yaqeen about it. You have to be on it and about it. No, that's not from the religion. So as soon as something happens, our lack of understanding of La ilaha illallah, it manifests itself. It shows through. So when someone dies who's a non-Muslim, no matter what level they occupy in the totem pole in society, La ilaha illallah teaches you how to take a position like a great scholar in Islam who dies. Once he dies, La ilaha illallah tells you, only Allah knows if he's in Jannah, but we hope for him in Jannah. But we're not going to say Wallahi and swear by Allah. And we only swear by Allah when we say and understand La ilaha illallah. He dies. We're going to say Allah raised the position of scholars. They're not like regular people. قُلْ هَلْ يَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. The scholar's not equal to everybody else. La ilaha illallah makes you respect that scholar. But if he dies and you don't know La ilaha illallah, he dies, you go to his grave and you start making dua to him. You go to his son who came after him, who's not like the scholar, and you start raising him higher than what he deserves. So when people die, and you know La ilaha illallah, you know how to deal with people. La ilaha illallah, ummatil Islam, we got to go back to it. I'm going to let this brother finish. I'm not going to interrupt again, inshallah. But I just want to let you know this. Listen. The hadith says, yadrusu al-islamu kama yadrusu wash-shuthub. حتى لا يدرى ما الصلاة ولا الزكاة ولا صوم ولا نسك. Islam is going to fade away. Islam is going to fade away. Until people won't know what salat is, what zakat is. People are not going to know what hajj, umrah. They're not going to know what the hijab is. They're not going to know aspects of our religion. And this is what's happening right now. La ilaha illallah is dying. Is dying. So the most important thing that we call to is the oneness of Allah, ikhwani. That man on that minbar, he may have the gift of gab, and he may inspire you talking about politics and all of that. And even if he's talking about politics the right way, there's no kalam more important for us to know than La ilaha illallah. You in that grave, Munkar al-Nakir, say, who's your Lord? What's your religion? What do you have to say about that man? La ilaha illallah, connected to all of that. Go ahead, my brother. What are the other four, inshallah?
What time is the adhan for Isha Sheikh Abu Muhammad?
The one who associates anything in worship with Allah is like a man who bought a slave with his own wealth, either gold or silver, and said that this is my house. And work, and this is my work. So work and give the wages to me. But he pays the wages to other than his owner. Then which of you would be pleased for his slave to be like that?
I got to mention this because it happened to me. Allah has created us. Allah gave us children. Allah provided for us. Allah gave us khair. And then the person turns around and acknowledges someone else as the one who did that. No. Listen to me. Reverse can relate to what I'm saying. I grew up as a poor person. I grew up in the poor. I'm not shy to say that. I'm rich now because I have La ilaha illallah. But I was poor. Came in from the projects. And in the projects, my mother and my father, they worked hard. My mother worked a night shift. When I came home from school, my mother was going out of the door until 12 o'clock in the night. My father worked early. He's home during the night. My mom's home during the day. I wish it was the other way around. Wish I had the rahmah of my mom dukes. the real queen. And Allah guided to Islam. It was like that for years. When Christmas time came, Christmas time, that your children go to school and the Muslim teachers in the school, they put on Christmas suits of the elves. And they had Christmas parties. If you know La ilaha illallah, you have to know that you have to go to the school and say, hey, can't do that. Nah, my kids are exempt. Taking your kids out of those celebrations is more important than having a problem with them playing instruments and things like that. Your daughter taking off her hijab to do, you know, phys ed, you know, gym. Yeah, you should do that. But not letting them do those classes is more important. Anyway, Christmas time, my mother had and father had four kids, four of us, two boys, two girls. My mom and my dad, with the jobs that they had, were able to buy their four children all of these gifts. What do you want for Christmas? I want this, I want that. I want a bike. I want some new sneakers. I want that. I want some boots. I want some sweaters. I want a new coat. I want that. And the things that they knew we needed. And when the 24th night of Christmas, New Year's Eve, Christmas Eve, when that happened, the 24th night, we would come downstairs, me and my two sisters and my brother, and we would walk real slow, and we were nervous. We were really nervous because there was haiba about Santa Claus. We were afraid with respect that we're going to find this man nervous. And we was going in that room, and it was all of these toys with the illumination of the Christmas tree. The tree was lit, and that's kufr and shirk. It's something that Europeans and Norwegian people, they believed God was in, God that they worship was inside of wood. Knock on wood, knock on wood. Good luck. Muslim doesn't do that. Knock on wood. La ilaha illallah. No, none of that stuff. So the lights, the ambiance. Ah, look at the bike. Look at this. Look. And we couldn't believe it. We were tripping out as kids. Couldn't believe it. Hit the jackpot. And we went back in our rooms and we couldn't sleep out of excitement. But you go to sleep. Next thing you know, you wake up smelling what my mother cooked for breakfast. Pork. And we're Christians. Bacon. You could smell the aroma. And they are proud, practicing Christians. We went to eat this, and the discussion was, so, what did Santa Claus get you? He got me that, he got me that. Santa Claus got me this, got me that. And, so that. And my mother and my father endorsed that. And they worked hard. They worked hard. And they endorsed saying that a foreigner doesn't look like us, has nothing to do with us. The people who oppress us look like this man. And they said that he was the one who gave us all of these gifts that they worked their bones and skin like that. And they said, that's what they said. That's how it is as it relates to La ilaha illallah. Someone says Rasulullah should be worshipped. And he swears and says, well, Nabi, I swear by the Nabi. Ta'zeem and lahu. I swear by this, the Sheikh, that's what you're doing. And that's why it's dhulm. Because you're taking something and you put it in the wrong place. You're supposed to take your worship and your shukr and give it to Allah. That's what Yahya is telling Bani Israel. That when you make shirk with Allah, you like the person who you own a slave. You own a slave. And you tell that slave, do this, do this, do this. He does everything and he attributes it to someone else and you're his owner. You're not going to like that. Walillahi al-mathalul a'la. If you don't like it, how do you think that thing is with Allah, the one who created everything for you? He did everything for you. And then we come and say, someone else did it. So when the companions made the mistake, as they're men, they made mistakes. They were sleeping in the journey and it rained. From Jahiliyyah, their practice, they said, the rain came down because of this star, that star. The Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard them saying that, some of the people have awakened as disbelievers in Allah. And some of the people have awakened from the sleep as believers in Allah. As for those people who said it rained because of this star and that planet and this person and this thing, then they disbelieve in Allah. It rained because of Allah. You have a baby because of Allah. Because of Allah. Everything happens because of Allah. All right, Akhi, give us the last one, inshallah.
Yahya said, alayhi salam, Allah created you and provides for you, so do not associate anything in worship with him. And the second thing he said is, and I order you with prayer. So when you pray, do not turn aside.
Second most important thing in al-Islam after la ilaha illallah is the salat. Who, as I look into this audience, some of us are struggling with five prayers a day. Some of us don't pray salat al-fajr. And if we do, we pray sometimes on and off. Some of our wives don't pray salat al-fajr. And if she does, on and off. And about our children, fahadith wa la haraj. The hadith said, as-salat khayrul mawdu'. The prayer is the most important thing in terms of actions. It's more important than jihad. The jihad of Islam that we don't apologize about. But it's the real jihad of Islam. It's more important than birrul walidain. It's more important than fasting. As a matter of fact, if you don't pray salat al-asr, it will destroy all of your other deeds. So the number one thing in Islam is a tawheed. Without tawheed, without la ilaha illallah, your salat, your hajj, your umrah, your sadaqah, your sitting here, none of that is going to benefit you. After that, in terms of deeds, there is no deed better than the salat. No deed. So the same thing of the five arkan of Islam, the people before us, they had it. I'm not going to interrupt again, inshallah.
The third thing that Yahya alayhi salam said is he said that I order you with fasting. And that is the like of a man who had a small pouch containing musk among a group of people. Yes, that is like a man who had a small pouch containing musk amongst a group of people. All of them like to smell it. The fasting person to Allah is better than the smell of musk.
So the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the breath of the faster is better than the atyab misk. You know, you have bad breath. You have bad breath from fasting because of what's going on. But Allah loves that smell. He loves that fragrance. He loves it. Now the people will look at that and judge it and say, oh, that's bad. That's abhorring. I don't like it. But what you think and what you feel doesn't equal a gnat in a snowstorm when it goes against what Allah has legislated. Because it doesn't make sense to you. That's not important. What's important is what Allah legislated and what Allah loves and what the prophets and the messengers brought. So the one who fasts, a pillar of Al-Islam. The people of the past had it. We're fasting in Ramadan, the month of Ramadan. Their books were revealed in the month of Ramadan as well. So it is the month of fasting. And generally for you, Shabab, fasting should be a part of your lives. Especially those of you who are 15, 16, 17, and you're young, and you're filling your Cheerios for the boys and the girls. Fathers, mothers, we try to encourage our kids to fast, not just wait until the month of Ramadan, because with all of the fitting going on, trust me, believe me, the fitting of the shahwa in these universities and in these schools where our kids are 15, 16, is there. It's there. Take their minds off of the, you know, being preoccupied with that shahwa by fasting collectively to the best of our ability. That's the third one.
The fourth one is, I order you with sadaqah, for its likeness is that of a man taken prisoner by the enemy. So they take hold of him and tie his hand to his neck. So he says, will you allow me to ransom myself for you? He said, so he gives them small and large amounts to escape from them. And the fifth thing I order you is to mention Allah much. The like of that is a man being chased by the enemy who are hastening after him until he comes to a protected fortress and so protects himself in it. Likewise is the servant. So he does not protect himself, for he does not protect himself from shaitan except through remembrance of Allah, the mighty, the majestic.
So we finish, inshallah, with this hadith. 4 and 5 is the importance of a zakat. Isa, Yahya, they knew about the zakat, the poor do. And the 5th one is the dhikr of Allah. How many of you have that book called The Citadel of the Muslim with the dua in it, the adhkar? How many of you heard that book? You know that book? Yeah, Hisnul Muslim, the citadel. Hisnul Muslim. How many of you know that book? The book with the dua. If you read the introduction of the book, he uses the last part of this hadith when he talks about the virtues of al-dhikr and al-dua. From the benefit of a dua, it is like a man who is being chased by people, shaitan, evil. He's being chased. He runs into a fortress like the palace of the queen. You can't get in there. Beefeaters are around them. You'll knock you over if you don't get out of the way. Cannons. On top of the thing. Shoot the enemy. No intruders. No outsiders. He ran. He got in there. Locked the door. They can't scale the wall. They can't get in. He's been protected by the citadel. The dhikr of Allah does that. Whoever's married, he wants to have relationships with his wife, he makes dua before that. And it's decreed that he has a child, that child will be protected from the shaitan. When he eats, he makes the dhikr of Allah, puts his clothes on, makes the dhikr of Allah. From the time that the Prophet woke up, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, all the way to the time that he went to bed, and during the night, dhikr, dhikr, dhikr. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'in al-qulub. You not well, mental anxiety, this, that. Dhikr of Allah, dhikr of Allah, the dhikr of Allah. It is important. It is the answer. Anxiety, mental health issues. You do the dhikr. You can be a person who's a da'i, and you are a real competent scholar because you know all of the dhikrs that are important for the day and the night. You know what you're doing. The dhikr of Allah is important. And from the dhikr of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala is, listen to this, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was afraid that there can be a problem, when he was concerned that there can come to him harm from his enemies, he would say, Allahumma inna naj'aluka fi nuhurihim. Oh Allah, we put you in their necks. Make an isti'ana billah. Istighatha billah. I'm asking Allah. These people can possibly harm me. Oh Allah, Allah, Allahumma, we're asking you to be in their necks. Wa nahnu aqrabu ilayhi min habl al-wareed. Allah said we're closer to Bani Adam than their own neck. And Allah threatened the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In taqawwala alayna, if Allah's Rasul made up some words that are not from the religion, Allah said he would take him with his right, stop him, and then stop off his life cycle if he were to try to change the religion. Because if Allah wants to stop someone's life, it's easy. Can I say Allah just snaps it? No, we don't describe Allah like that. If he wants to do something, he just says, be and it is. It's going to happen. So the dhikr of Allah, ikhwani, is an integral part of the Muslim. And everybody who is sitting here without any exception, we all have to be people who are making dhikr. So we're going to stop here, inshallah, azza wa jal. And we ask Allah Ta'ala, first and foremost, to give us a thibat in our religion, and to give us ikhlas in our religion, and to protect us divinely from the evil of our own selves, and from the evil of our actions, and the evil of those who plot against us. We ask Allah for good leaders who are not apologetic about our religion. People who are competent, qualified, know what they're doing. We ask from him balance. And lastly, I want to make dua to Allah Azza wa Jalla to have mercy upon our Sheikh Ali Al-Halabi, who is a human being, who like every human being, he gets it right and he gets it wrong. And we don't blindly follow him. But we believe, and Allah is A'la and A'lam, that the efforts and the juhud of the man in terms of his books and his dawah clearly points to the man being athari, inshallah, azza wa jal, who made mistakes like everybody else. But we ask Allah to forgive his mistakes and to make this book and his other ta'lifat, inshallah, a hujjah for him, yawm al-qiyamah. And being here in this country, in the UK, in America, in Europe, I'm one of those people who appreciate what he did. Like I appreciate what my mother and my father did. And I appreciate, and I have shukr to Allah guiding me to Al-Islam. So appreciate the people who did good for you. Coming now, saying that a person who helped you to become a Muslim, he helped you to become a Muslim and put you on the sunnah. And you come and say that that individual is an innovator and he preceded you in this religion. He doesn't have to be a Sheikh Ali al-Halabi. He's a person giving dua from our du'at. But because you have some personal issue with him and there's a political agenda going on, you easily make tabdi' of him. It's a problem with our understanding of La ilaha illallah. Obama says Ramadan Mubarak, and then we come out and we say, MashaAllah, he understands Islam, MashaAllah, Mubarak, oy, look at that man. And then your brothers will call into a tawheed. We make tabdi' of them. Ya akhi, kayfa tahkumun? Malakum, kayfa tahkumun? سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وأشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة